Hey, welcome to the podcast called
Dogs Are Smarter Than People.
This is a podcast where we talk about writing tips, random weird thoughts to start us off that make no sense to anyone, and
how mean Sean is to Carrie, usually.
Oh no, that's true. So hey, thanks for being here with us.
Yes, thank you very much. We hope you chuckle at least one time.
One time. Hey, welcome to the podcast.
You need to delete that and start all over.
Man. No, I don't delete nothing. We're like not really live, but we're live in that we delete nothing.
We're alive.
Barely. So hi.
Hey, baby girl, what's up? Sexy. Well,
I'm a little worried that you're going to go be a crank.
I'm not going to be cranky. I don't know why you worry. I still haven't freaking let you down yet.
You always let me down.
Not in that regard, I haven't.
He doesn't really. So.
Yeah.
We have a random thought, like we always do to start the podcast. Ready?
What's it about?
It's about air flight travel.
Yeah.
Don't look ahead.
I'm not.
All right. This is coming from shepherdexpress.com. I don't know if that's a real news site or not. And it says, are you ready?
I'm ready. What's it say?
A Scandinavian Airlines flight from Oslo, Norway to Malaga, Spain was diverted to Copenhagen, Denmark on September 18th. After a mouse crawled out of a passenger's in-flight meal.
What?
Yeah.
And they had to divert the flight?
I don't know, man. Maybe because everyone was freaking out. I don't know.
I bet there was pandemonium.
BBC reported it, so we know that this is allegedly true.
Yeah.
Allegedly true. And the guy who was sitting next to the passenger whose meal, quote, harbored the rodent, told the BBC that people on board remained calm. But he put his socks over his pant leg so the mouse couldn't crawl up his leg.
Really?
Yeah.
Why are people so afraid of mice? I mean, I'm not afraid of mice whatsoever, but the wild ones, you know, they can carry some diseases.
I don't know how wild it was.
I don't want to be sleeping with them, but
it was munching on a good meal.
Yeah. He's probably been on that plane his whole life.
He's like, oh no, it's like, a picture book.
He's a, what do you call it? He's a native. I was born on this plane.
That's a really great picture book idea.
Oh, it is.
Oh, I know.
Mouse on the plane.
The shame.
You just come up with a name for them, like Timothy Travels.
So the spokesperson for the Scandinavian Airlines,
yes,
which is the kind of plane it was, said that it is an extremely rare occurrence to have a mouse come out of somebody's.
Well, hopefully it is.
In-flight meal. I want to know what the food was.
I would prefer that normally they're at least cooked before they're served.
Kids, there was like a great big thing about like a mouse being in a, I'm not gonna say the brand.
Oh man, that's been done so many times.
Oh, sweet.
It's like the, well, nowadays people try it for scams, but back then I think it was more of an urban legend type
thing.
Yeah,
man.
Kentucky, oh.
No.
Was it fried?
No, it was like,
oh, because that's
it
one
was
I
a
had.
Soup.
The one I had as a kid was a fried because it looked like a chicken leg?
That's so nasty.
It was a rat instead.
That's so nasty. Man. But anyways, can you imagine, like, you're like, oh, here's my little meal. I'm so excited. I'm so happy. And then, mouse.
Dude, I haven't had a meal on a flight in the decades. All we get is, like, cookies and friggin' six pretzels in a bag.
So apparently the lady next to him was opening a box of food. They have pictures, actually, of the people, and they all look very happy. And poop, out comes the mouse, and everyone was not stressed at all. And he joked about the incident on his own Facebook and filled it with laughing emojis.
Except for the pain in the buttness of having to land somewhere where you're not supposed to be going.
Yeah. But you know what? I kind of feel like that's very European versus American. Like in America, somebody has a mouse in their food. What's going to happen in the flight?
You know how many people would have made TikToks, drama TikToks about that?
Drama TikToks. We've got drama TikToks. We've got lawsuits. We've got angry tweets and or whatever X's right. things yeah. now. Like, it would be a lot.
Are they still called tweets?
I don't know.
Or are they called X's?
I don't know. That's why I had a little, like, why did we call it? You know, it's really hard figuring out what to call things.
Twix.
So, sadly, this is not what the podcast is about.
It's Can I about... say something real quick? Tell me what the podcast is about.
No, you caught, like, right in the middle. Right in the middle of my introduction, you just stopped me.
I'm sorry, I was too slow. I meant to stop you before. I didn't know you were going to get into it so quick.
I want to get it done, man.
Me too.
I'm an efficient person.
But the mouse on the plane, you know, if a mouse diverted... You know, I was just wondering if, you know, sometimes I'm kind of gaseous. And do you think that I have the quality of gaseousness to be one of those people to divert a flight?
Yes, I do.
Because that would be so cool.
No, it would not be cool. No.
That'd be like my claim to fame.
No, that is not what you want your claim to fame be.
I go into the terminal.
Gandhi.
With the peace signs up and like Richard Nixon.
Gandhi, Mandela, you know, MLK Jr., Mother Teresa, like all these
they
people.
They all farted too.
Not their claim to fame. They're like world peace, Nobel Peace Prize, stop a war even, like, but no. No.
Like, I'd like to be the ultimate. I'd be like, folks, we were going to divert the plane, but instead we're handing out parachutes. God bless you all.
Oh, no. Okay, so the...
So what's the podcast about,
you know,
Mary?
Sometimes I'm like, why don't I get taken seriously as a writer? Why? I'm like a really smart person. I have, like, so much practice. I'm a pretty decent teacher of writing.
This
of writing
coach
and editing. And I'm smart-ish, you know, like, I can be an intellectual if I'm into it, but, like, then I think, oh.
Are you saying you want a new co-host
it's
right
the
now?
Podcast. That's why no one's offered me a tenured position
I'm
teaching
sorry.
Anywhere.
I can be stuffy, too.
No, you can't. But you can make a room stuffy. You can make us all want to open the windows. So, the name of this podcast is Want to Be Popular. Don't hang out with Sean. Try a fish. Because you're making a spoof.
Okay, cookies. Making spoof.
I don't know what spoof is.
New terminology.
It's like poops that are smelly. Spoofs.
Well, it is getting close it's getting close to Halloween. So. It's like a spoof. It's a ghost fart, which is what I love.
Okay.
It's
about,
you know, let it rip and get out of the room quick. It's spoof.
All right, anyways. The name.
One more second. I'm sorry. Instead of being ghosted, you can say, oh, I got spoofed.
That's right. So, want to be popular? Try a fish out of water. That is the name of our podcast, this episode, right? And it's because we've started a series of free and paid posts on podcast episodes and blah, blah, blah about writing best sellers. Hit lit, right?
Yeah.
And our first post about that is linked in our podcast notes and you can like look them all up there. So, blah, blah, blah. Right?
Yeah.
That's not a best-selling way to start a podcast episode, Carrie. But a better way? Well, according to Jack Hall, who wrote Hit Lit, read the quote, babe. Read the quote. That's your job. You can't find it, can you?
No.
Right there.
Okay. In most bestsellers, there's a central character who sets off on a journey that takes her from rustic America into turbulent urban landscapes where the agrarian values either help her succeed or doom her to failure. Almost as often, the heroes of bestsellers make an exodus in the opposite direction, from the pressure of cities to the bucolic countryside.
So if you think about that, right,
mm-hmm.
you can think like the Epic of Gilgamesh, really old. Wizard of Oz, pretty old. Star Wars, pretty old. Twilight and Outlander, like all these books and movies, actually, like have that fish out of water element to it, right?
Yeah.
And Jason Hallerman for No Film School, writes,
the fish out of water idiom refers to a character who is removed from their normal day-to-day and has to catch up with their new outlook on the world. This writing trope is very popular in TV pilot episodes, action movies, and across almost any genre. If the character adapts fast to a new environment, it's said they are like a duck takes to water.
Yeah. So, you might be a city girl in the country, or country boy in the city, or just a Hallmark Christmas movie character.
All three of those are the same thing.
But there's something that resonates in that trope, and something that often makes a bestseller. Hall takes it a bit deeper, saying that it's like about mythic identities. We see it in elections, the Midwestern dad VP choice, the hillbilly done good VP choice, the outsider, the insider. We create these myths where every single person in the middle of America is part of the heartland and full of hard-working blue-collar peeps, basically, right?
Red state versus blue state. Working class versus corporate elite. Virtuous versus decadent.
We know which side Sean would choose. But that's what Hall writes, right? And these polarities become these mythic, they become gigantic. And they popularize stereotypes and they polarize views.
While we all know these labels are bogus, they are so ingrained in our sense of national identity that we reflexively embrace them even as we discount their accuracy.
Hall writes, books that argue both sides of those polarities and tensions, those are the books that tend to be the bestsellers.
Huh. Both sides.
Both sides.
In one book.
In one book.
Whew. Seems like a lot.
No, it's just like they're not shallow. They're deep.
Yeah. So is Wizard of Oz deep?
Originally.
Yeah. Originally? The story? The plot?
Yeah. Yeah. I like think of like Grapes of Wrath, you know, and like... You don't remember that
don't
one.
Don't know if I read that
The Great Gatsby, even. Like, these aren't, like, super, like, they're very literary, popular, mega, mega bestsellers, but they're not the biggest of the bestsellers. But, like, Gone with the Wind has that. Like, she's displaced oftentimes in the setting of, like, mythic America, right? During the Civil War.
Yeah.
Good versus evil. But it grays things out within the book itself, too. The Da Vinci Code, set in, like, you know, America, but not, because he goes off to all these other places. I'm trying not to spoil it. In the hunt for...
I'm not going to read it.
The code. Well, other people might, you know,
oh,
like...
Oh, yeah.
The Godfather, you know, like, in the family, out of the family... The family represents what to him? He's a city boy, but now he's a college boy because he went off to college, unlike the rest of the family, and then he comes back, and is he part of the family anymore? And so, like, there's these mythic elements of journey and displacement and not fitting in that are, like, Dorothy. Where is she? She's in The Wizard of Oz, right?
Yeah.
But she's this country girl in Kansas, taken via tornado, magical tornado, to the land of Oz, which is totally different, right? Luke Skywalker from his desert planet to this intergalactic confederacy, or federation. I guess it's not a confederacy. Oh my gosh. It's because I said red state, blue state. And Civil War. But like all of those, you know, they have like that element to them, man. And like they're... I mean, Star Wars is about as take a trope, take a Jungian like character type and throw it out there over and over. But like there are these elements eventually of gray and shadow and moral choices and what does it take to fit in? Do you want to give up who you are to fit in? And those kind of choices I think often resonate enough to make people remember and feel for the characters, but also make the book bigger than it might necessarily have been without it.
Whew. Take a breath, baby.
You looked at me like, stop talking.
No, I
did
not.
Stop talking.
I was thinking about all the books in the world. I think I have like a finite number of books that I can remember.
That's normal, actually.
And then they just fall off.
Yeah, that's really normal. Yeah.
You know, the ones, like, from high school?
Yeah.
Because I've read most of those classics, but I can't remember.
Yeah. No, there's actually been studies about that, about how, like, yeah, some came out recently, like, about how you can only, like, vaguely remember some of the books, like, of all the books that you've read. It's really interesting. It makes people sad who are really into books, because they're like, I want to remember all of them perfectly. They're my baby friends.
Well, that would make it easier than getting the confused with reality, which I feel like I do sometimes. But
oh my gosh, that's terrifying.
Dog tip for life.
Baby, that was so loud.
It wasn't that loud.
Baby, it was so loud.
We've never gotten a noise complaint from that. Wow. That's my goal.
That's not a good goal.
It's better than getting one for singing karaoke.
We think that once people came, people being the police, came to our house for a karaoke, for a domestic violence complaint noise thing. And they realized once they went on our porch that we were singing karaoke and no one was getting hurt.
I think it was before we started singing this particular song, but I could imagine it was Wait in the Truck.
Wait in the Truck.
Anyways.
What's my dog tip for life?
I don't know, man.
What?
Huh?
You don't have a dog tip?
No, these dogs, they didn't want to talk for crap.
Oh, my Lord. All right, we have no dog tip this week.
That's not true. I'll make one up quick.
It's too late.
It's about dogs being out of their element, right? To make for a better story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And?
And,
don't be afraid to get out of your element to make for a better story.
That's what these dogs say.
There you go.
Because they live their fullest life when they're out there out of their element, barking at people and
living their story.
Living their story.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. All the podcast notes are on Living Happy on Substack or carriejonesbooks.blog. The awesome music was available via the Creative Commons and it's being clipped. There's someone singing outside the window right now.
They're not singing our song.
But that is Broke for Free and the song is Summer Spliff.
Everybody's favorite.
I wish. I'd probably be less cranky.
Yes, you would be less cranky.